Amen. So this morning, again, just like what my beautiful wife said, we're so glad and thrilled that you're here. And we know God, obviously you're here. God brought you here. So we're excited. God's got a word for you today. And we know that when you hear the word has with the power within itself to change your life forever. So what you see the word of God is actually called seed. And so again, seed, sometimes it starts small, but over time it grows and it produces fruit in your and my life. So this word is supposed to produce in your and my life. So we're just excited that you're here and that your hearts are open to receive. Those that are joining online, we want to welcome you as well. We're so glad that you're here. So if you got your Bibles or if you don't have them, I have it on the screen for you. It's a little cheat sheet today. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to just read this verse. We kind of read it on Good Friday as well, but I want to just bring it in again. Because what we're doing is retelling the story of what took place. And it's not a once upon a time story. It's actually happened. And in 1 Corinthians 11:26, the Apostle Paul is saying these words, and he's talking about communion. And I'm sure you've heard that if you kind of grew up in any kind of church around that, you've heard about the wine and the bread and what it all represents. There's a story that's attached to this wine and to this bread because Jesus signified it's my body and it's my blood that is being poured out for you. So I want to just kind of go into this today, but Paul says this, whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are retelling the story. So what we're going to do today is retell the story, a story that has the potential to change your life forever. It has the potential to radically change your life right now, but also for eternity. It has absolutely changed history. Even our calendars are changed by it. You have BC and then Jesus died, rose again, then you have AD. So I mean, everything has been radically changed by this story, and this story is about a man named Jesus. So he says, you're retelling the story and you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. So the climax again of this story, it's found in these three simple words in our English word. It is finished. Jesus didn't say, I'm finished. He says, it is finished. And the Greek word, which you see it on the screen there is teleo. Come on, church, shout out with me. Teleo! Teleo is what he shouted out, meaning it is finished. So, you know, one of the best things that you and I can do, bring a gift to God, I mean, as his children, but also if you're like, hey, I'm just kind of new to this church thing. Well, here's a good thing to do. Just agree with God. Always just be on God's side. And one of the greatest gifts that you could ever bring him is just simply agree with him. And so when God says it is finished, so do I. When God says it's time for a declaration to confess and believe that it is finished, that's who we are and that's what we do. And look at this in Psalm 22. Now, if you were at the cross, if you were actually right there, you would hear Jesus say and quote all of Psalm 22. And it's not like he was hanging on that tree thinking, now would be a great time to quote Psalm 22. That's not what it was. It was the psalmist David who actually saw in the spirit what was going to take place to a crucified Messiah. And Jesus spoke these words. So you can read all through Psalm 22. It'll really bless you. You see what's going on to him. But at the very end of it, I want to highlight this part. But it says that they will tell of the Lord to the next generation. Verse 31, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born. And that's not just talking about a natural birth, although that's included, but there's a people that are yet to be born or reborn from above. And what are they supposed to be doing? That he has done it, and they are supposed to declare that it is finished. Part of your and my call, when Jesus yelled teleo, that wasn't again the end of him. He was just getting started. And then in turn, all of his children, all the people that were to be born on this earth would hear the good news of the gospel about what Jesus has done. And those that have heard it, you and I have a call. We have a job, which is to declare that it is finished to creation. That's our God-given assignment, is to declare it. So what we're doing this morning is taking some time to declare of the good works of what Jesus has done. You know, gospel supposed to mean what? Good news, not religious news, not some kind of if you do some good do's and don'ts, then, you know, God will bless you. No, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to enforce his kingdom plan on planet Earth again and to bring good news to this earth again. So I want you to look at this real quickly, Psalm 107, verse 2, just to showcase a little bit. But has the Lord redeemed you? Yes. Then what? All right, so that was the eight of you. Has the Lord redeemed you? Yes. What are you supposed to do? Speak out. Has the Lord redeemed you? Yes. Then what? Speak out, church. You got a voice. You got a platform. It's your own testimony of what God has done in your life. It says, tell others that he has redeemed you from your enemies. Look at this in the way the Passion Bible says it. It says it like this. Go ahead. Let everyone know it. Tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness and has gathered us together from all over the world. He has set us free to be his very own. Woo! Other translations say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to say so. We're not giving you our opinions. We're not giving you our truths because that nobody wants to care really about that. What we want to know is the truth, because there is a truth that you and I can live our lives to and actually see results because we lived on the truth. Jesus said, if you know the truth will make you free. Wow. So this is what we're going to do is we're going to take some time to tell about what Jesus did in paralyzed darkness. So this is good news. I mean, we sang it. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's not talking about Sunday, March 31st. He's talking about the day in the dispensation or the time that we're living in. We're living in a day called grace. God has made this day of grace where it's available that you have access to our Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of Jesus and his blood. This day is right now. And just like the days of Noah, remember, if you've heard that story before, Noah would preach the gospel. He'd preach that, hey, there's a flood coming, but there's salvation available. Come get on the boat. Come get on the boat. And at that time, they thought he was nuts. Well, we're doing the same thing today. It's, hey, there's Jesus is coming back. He's coming back real soon. Come be part of the family. Come get in. What the boat was for the days of Noah, so the church is in these last days. Come in. We got to get you knowing that who Jesus is, because he's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to the Father. And he came to give you life in abundance to the full till it overflows. So now, calm down, Joel. Let's just move forward here. John 19, verse 30. This is, again, the words we were just saying to Leo. But Jesus, just before he died, he said these three words, and I think it's profound. This is what he said. It is finished. Now, what was finished? This word, teleo, again, I want to just bring out. I'm not trying to show off my Greekness, because not much. I saw my big fat Greek wedding, 1 and 2, and it was great. And that's my extent of Greek. But teleo, it means this. There's two meanings for it. Number one is this. There is an ending of something that is expired. For example, the old covenant of law. I'm not going to get into that today. But the second part of this is to complete or to accomplish something. So when Jesus said teleo, not only we say it is finished, he is saying I have completed and I have accomplished something. So again, wouldn't it be good to know what he accomplished for us? He didn't accomplish something for himself. He didn't need to. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. He did everything right. He was in heaven before. He didn't have to come down to this earth and pay for humanity's sin. What did he accomplish? And there's three things. Again, they're going to be churchy words, they sound like, but I'm going to break one of them down. One of them is this: redemption, propitiation, and reconciliation. I know, very big words, but we're going to just go over one this morning, and it's the word redemption. Can everybody say that with me? Redemption. Now, the Greek word for this is apolustrosis. If you are Greek, I apologize. I eat at OPA, so I thought I would have some kind of a... Nothing there. But that word redemption, that Greek word, it literally means to purchase out of the of slavery by a ransom payment. So what does redemption mean? It means to purchase out of slavery by a ransom payment. The spiritual definition or the spiritual term to this word redemption would be the price that was paid on the cross for your and my salvation to buy us back, or the whole mankind, out of the slave market. Okay? Now, so that also gives us more insight. Redemption views mankind as born naturally, when they came into this earth, into a slave market through Adam's sin. Okay? Our slavery was not God's fault, but it was our first human father's fault who disobeyed the command of do not eat of that forbidden fruit. Right? You can read that in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 2, God says, don't eat of it. If you do, you will surely die. Well, again, if you read your Bible, he ate the fruit. He didn't die physically right away. It took 930 years for the enemy to teach him how to die. Imagine having 930 birthdays. You get your driver's license at like 483. Like, that's a lot, man. So he said, you will surely die. Where did he die when he ate that forbidden fruit? He died spiritually. So death occurred instantly. You could even find that. He started to hide himself from God when he heard God walking in the cool garden of the day. He hid himself because he was now afraid. So what once was bold confidence and this relationship, now all of a sudden, because he disobeyed God, he started hiding from him. And that's what you see a lot of our world in today. They're hiding from God because they're scared of him. Jesus came to reveal the Father and who he is. So when you hear the gospel, you don't hear of a scary father. You actually hear of a father who is full of love, full of grace, full of truth. And he will receive you, take you from where you're at, but he's not going to leave you there. He's going to bring you into the fullness of who he called you to be. That's good news. Okay, so the other part of this. So Adam, at his sin, became a slave. Can you say that with me? A slave. He became a slave and he threw all mankind into slavery with himself. And so God had to find a way to get us back. So I want you just to kind of see this for a sec. Here's Adam in the garden walking with God and he's having this relationship with God Almighty, the one who created everything. And he's teaching him things. He's showing him things. Adam, don't eat this tree. And so what happens? Adam and Eve, they go and they eat of this fruit. And I want you just to see now they've stepped out of freedom and they've stepped into this prison cell with the handle on the outside. Right? So now they're in this prison cell. And what do slaves do? Slaves create slaves. When they have kids, they have kids slave. If they're in slavery, you have children, they just stay in slavery, right? Okay. Now the entrance again, as I said, the entrance into the slave market was disobedience to God. The slave market now has a door handle on the outside. And again, once they walked into that door, it was closed behind them and nobody could get out. So God now had to find a way to now enter into the slave market and open the door from the outside. How do you do that? How is that possible? Slaves, as I said, cannot free themselves. A slave cannot say, I'm going to work harder, better, and smarter than all the other slaves that are in here. Then I'll be free. Does that work? You cannot get out by good works, right? A nice slave is in the slave market with an evil slave. So just because I'm a nice slave doesn't mean anything. If the issue is not you being nice or a good person, the issue is you're a slave, right? Next thing, one slave cannot free another slave. So as we see, there are many false religions claiming their way to heaven or their way to God. But again, the problem is, a slave cannot free a slave. All these other religions, and you can name them out, you name them all, and they all have some kind of a natural prophet, and they would say different things, trying to say, this is how you get to heaven. But the problem is, they've all died. Nobody has escaped death. Nobody has gotten out of the slave market. You can't free a slave on your own, right? So we are surrounded by slaves. Again, naturally speaking, just think of this again. All creation, all mankind is in this slave. We have slaves of all nationalities, slaves of all colors, male slaves, female slaves. They could be factory workers. They could be business owners. They could be bank tellers. They could be street cleaners. It does not matter. Some people try to claw and fight and try to get as high as they possibly can in the slave market. Again, the issue is not the job that you have, the amount of money in your bank account. That means nothing. That's not the issue. The issue is we are all slaves. That is the issue. So God does not please by, oh, I'm this smart, God. I can do all this. I can quote the whole Bible to you. That means nothing. The issue is slavery. We're stuck in this slavery. So again, Jesus had to find, or God had to find a way to get mankind out of this door. And here comes the good news. Who is going to save us from this? Who's going to save us from this slave market? Who is going to open the door? Oh, but this is the message we have. If you've been redeemed by the Lord, say so. Have you heard the news? World, have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Jesus came. Jesus came. God had a plan from Genesis chapter 3. I mean, he had a plan all along. But Genesis chapter 3 is the first time that you actually see the Father preaching the gospel about, I got someone coming who's going to get you out of this slavery. You see it? I'm going to show it to you right here. Genesis 3:15. It says this, so, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you're going to strike his heel. Who is he talking about? He's saying that I have a seed coming. I got someone coming who's going to come through this line of manhood, who's going to come and redeem and take everybody out of this slavery again. He's talking about Jesus. So have you heard the news? Jesus was born outside of the slave market. And again, if you took some time to really read your Bible, you're going to find amazing things that Jesus was born of a virgin. And when you actually find, even scientifically, it's amazing how God did this, because when you have children, the bloodline really flows from the father, right? That's the blood comes from the father. And so then, you know, get an egg and a seed and you mix them together and you get, poof, a baby. So what did God do? He said, I have to come in man form, but I can't have myself tainted by man's blood because it's in slavery. So God did the most amazing thing that anybody, I mean, how can you even think this stuff up? He says, I'm going to come and I'm going to come in a seed form and I'm going to come through a Virgin Mary. His blood's not going to be touched by human blood. Jesus was born outside the slave market and he willingly came in to this earth that we are, not as a slave, but as the righteousness of God. That's how he entered this earth. And he operated as a man, 100% man, yet 100% God. Why? Because his blood wasn't tainted. It's amazing. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to see this. This is what he did. Hebrews 10, it says, the old system, talking a little bit about the law, of living under the law, it presented us with only a faint shadow, a crude outline of the reality of the wonderful blessings to come. Even with its steady stream of sacrifices offered year after year, there was still nothing that could make our hearts perfect before God. So for if in animal sacrifices, so what they do in the Old Testament, whenever there was sin, they would grab an animal. The animal would be the sacrifice to cover their sins for a year. But now imagine all of a sudden you like say, okay, it's covered for a year. You walk away kind of, okay, my conscience is clear for a second. Okay, it's okay, I'm good for a year. And imagine you walk 10 minutes later and you made a mistake. You missed the mark. You sinned. You got to wait a whole year for that guilt to leave again. Yikes. So this was the old system that he's talking about here. They would, for if animal sacrifices could once and for all eliminate the sin, they would have ceased to be offered and worshipers could have clean consciousness. Instead, once was not enough. So by the repetitive sacrifices year after year, the worshipers were continually reminded of their sins with their hearts still impure. For what power does the blood of bulls and goats have to remove sin's guilt? None. So when Jesus, the Messiah, came into the world, he said, since your ultimate desire was not another animal sacrifice, you have clothed me with a body that I might offer myself to you instead. Multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice. So I said to you, God, I will be the one to go in and to do your will, to fulfill all that is written of me in your word. First, he said, multiple burnt offerings and sin offerings cannot satisfy your justice, even though the law required them to be offered. And then he said, God, I will be the one to go and do your will. So by being the sacrifice that removes sin, he absolutely abolishes animal sacrifices and replaces that entire system with a new covenant. Verse 10, by God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the Messiah. So what is he saying here is that the body of Jesus was crucial to take on the sin of all the slaves that were in this market. He took every slave that was in there from the beginning of Adam all the way to the last person born. Everybody that be born, he took everything upon himself. And as a God, man, died with it all, took all of the slave's sin, all the slave's issues, all the slave's problems, the addictions, everything, sickness, mind issues. He took it all upon himself, died with it, and then as we are celebrating today, rose again from the dead victoriously, where you and I can now forever be free. Oh, man. So again, have you heard the news that the veil has been torn in two? Have you heard the news that Jesus came? Have you heard the news that, hey, listen to this, sin is not keeping you out of stepping out of the slave market. People, again, just have this visualization of people stuck in the slave market, and they think, man, if I could just get good enough, if I could just be a better person, then I'll be okay. It's not the issue of being good. It's not the issue of how nice you are. It's not the issue of I'm a man, I'm a woman. It's not the issue of what I do for a work. That has nothing to do with it. What is the issue is that I was a slave, but Jesus took care of the root issue of slavery, which was sin and death. He took care of that. So what's the only thing that's holding people back from stepping out of this slavery is their belief and mindset about Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. There's no sin strong enough to keep people back. Man, you could make, we call them altar calls here in the church, but we could say, who would like to receive Jesus as their Lord? You can find people that shoot their hands up right away and say, yes, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And notice, there's not this sin holding them back, just going, oh, come on back here. You can't come out there. It's too hard to get out there. No, why? Because sin has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Satan and everything he is, everything he's got, has been obliterated. 1 John 3:8, the Bible tells us that Jesus came, the Son of Man, Son of God, was manifest that he would destroy the works of Satan. When it means to destroy something, any guys in here enjoy blowing stuff up? Well, growing up, I have a wonderful cousin who enjoyed blowing stuff up. And there was always something to shoot, something to blow up. And so there'd be times we'd blow up, I'm not going to say what it was, but we'd be blowing stuff up. And what happens is after you blew it up, you'd go and you'd try to find it, you'd inspect the area of where it was, and what do you find? Nothing. So the good news is, Satan tries to make himself all powerful. I mean, you see what, even how Hollywood, how he tries to make himself look so big and so strong and so crazy. The Bible says is that when the world finally sees him, this is what they're going to say. That? This is what caused kings to tremble? This is what caused nations to fall? This thing? Now, for a very prideful, arrogant being that he is, that's going to hurt a lot. He's going to be like, what do you mean, this? This? You? Shouldn't be higher than my shoe? This is what caused all these issues? So let me encourage you today, don't let this slave market, it tries to keep all of its mindset. It tries to keep you back. Remember what you used to be. Remember how you used to. Remember what you did. Remember, this runs in our family. Shut that up, because the slave market has been completely blasted open. And so whosoever wants to come can receive Jesus freely this morning. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. So now, the question you have to ask yourself is, who do I want to be connected to? That's the only question. Because here's the answer. There's only two men that you could actually connect yourself to. People say, well, I'm just my own. Honey, you are not. There's no such thing as a self-made person. There's no such thing, well, I'm just doing my own thing. You're not. You are connected to one of two individuals. You are either connected to Christ or you're connected to Adam. The first Adam. The Bible, if really, just to... all the years of Bible school and all the studies that I've done, it really goes down to two men. The Bible is about two men. It's about the first man, Adam, and his sin, or it's about the other second Adam, the last Adam, called Jesus, who absolutely annihilated and undid everything that Satan did in Adam. Jesus came and undid it all. Who do you identify with? Because in Adam, there's confusion. In the sin world, in the world, that's why you see what we have today. There's confusion on anything. There's confusion on boys and girls. There's confusion on, you know, how I'm feeling. I'm confused on this. My money's my identity. My job's my identity. It's wacko. But in Christ, my identity is him. He becomes, when I see Jesus, he's revealing a reflection of who he made me to be. So look at this. I'll give you scriptures to prove it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, so you see, just as death came into the world. Now notice, death came into. Can you say that with me? Death came into. So death came into. I mean, it wasn't here to begin with. It had to come into. And who opened the door for death to get into? Adam did. Death came into the world through a man, Adam. Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Christ. So just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. And what is this new life? Zoe. It's everlasting life. It's the life of God right now that God currently has. So you have to ask yourself this question and saying, who am I connected to? Nobody can answer this question for you but you. My mama couldn't do it for me. She wanted to, but she can't. My wife can't make up this decision for me. My children can't make up this decision for me. Outside circumstances can't make the decision for me. I have to make a decision in my own heart saying, who am I going to connect to? Do I want to be stuck in this slave market with all of its mindsets and the way that it tries to operate? How we're trying to, you know, climb the ladder to success and we're trying to do all these things in order to be somebody? Or am I going to identify with Jesus Christ and I am accepted in the beloved? I am welcomed into the kingdom of God as if I've never done a thing wrong. In his eyes, I've already got the highest success that I'll ever be. I'm connected to him. When I got Jesus, I got everything I'll ever need. And in him, he came to give life. So really, the choice is yours, right? Okay. In Jesus, I am free from the slave market and everything that's connected to it. Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14, it says this. Jesus, he has. Can you shout that out? He has. Yes. What is that in the tense form? It's a past tense, present tense, future tense. It's a past tense. He has done something. He has rescued us 98%? Completely. Well, these are big words that sometimes we just read over. This is part of the gospel, is that you are completely free from the tyrannical rule of darkness of the slave market, and you have been completely translated into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. Woo! Then he says, for in the Son. Now notice these words. These words are identifying scriptures. For in the Son, bing, 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 identity, identity, identity. For in the Son, all of my sins are canceled and I have the release of redemption. There's that word, the release of redemption through his very own blood. I've been purchased. And I really want you to see it is a 100% full rescue mission that took place. Jesus didn't just take care of a few things. He took care of the whole thing. Spirit, soul, body. So if you're dealing with soul issues this morning, Jesus came to free you completely of that tyrannical rule of darkness. The way of slave thinking, Jesus's will for your life is that you get completely set free from the slave market thinking. There's addictions stuck in here. There's things that people, I'm just trying to get out of. I'm just, God, can you do something? Can you help me? Yes, he can. And he will. What do I have to do? Well, I got to get cleaned up first. I got to look good in order to, you know, to get to church and to get with people because the church is perfect and everybody in there is just really perfect. It's not. I got stuff that I got to deal with too on my own. But what do I do? Gotta just stay in the slave market and just go, I guess it just doesn't work. No, I'm gonna allow the word of God to wash my thinking. I'm gonna allow the word of God to allow me to teach me now how to really live in the kingdom realm of his dear son. Next verse I want you to see is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. It says, with his own blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of God, this untainted blood, not the blood of bulls or goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all time. And notice these words, he secured our redemption forever. You are secured in Christ Jesus. When? Forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Man, that's good news. So here's two challenges I want to throw at you today. Number one is this. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Please don't leave this building without doing so because, hey, listen, hell is a real place. People kind of think, well, how could you serve a God who sends people to hell? My God never has, and he never will. My God, the God of the Bible, has done everything he possibly could do to receive and to get mankind out of this slave market because hell was created. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 4, it was created for Satan and his fallen angels and the demons. It was created for them. But here's the thing, who do you identify with? Who are you connected to? Because both of these men, they represent, they're going somewhere. In Christ, you receive new life. In Adam, there is no hope. There is no life. Hell becomes the destination to where it's going because it's full of sin. It's this whole slave market. But listen to this, nobody ever goes to hell because of sin. Heresy, no Bible. Nobody goes to hell for sin. Why do people then end up in hell? Rejection of the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen, the Father has done everything he could. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He has done it all, and he did it for you. He did it for me. He saw you and says, I don't want eternity without you. So I'm going to give you my Son, planet Earth. I'm giving you my Son, children of Abraham. I'm giving you my Son, children of Adam. Get out of that slave market because it's no good in there. You think you're enjoying life in the slave market. It eventually ends up in death. So he says, come out, come out, come out. And how do you get out? How do you get out of this slave market? You first have to start with a new nature. And how do I get the new nature? By saying, Jesus, I accept your sacrifice, what you did on the cross. I believe the blood of Jesus was shed for me. I believe it in my heart. And I say it with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And by doing that, you've made one massive step out of the slave market. And you've now come into the kingdom realm of his dear Son. And in this place now, you have to relearn how to live. Because the slave market over, depends how long you've been in there, have been talking and teaching you ways to how to live this life. And it's all wrong. It's all backwards. God's got something to say about health. God's got something to say about marriage, about kids, about finances, about how to deal with one another, how to deal when there's strife, when there's issues, when there's problems. God's got all these answers because he's a father. This is what fathers do. We got some of that stuff going on in our house. Sometimes there's fights. Really, in the pastor's house? No, my kids just usually sit and they pray. That's just usually what we do. But there's stuff in our house, and so what does a father and mother do? We come alongside, we coach them, we train them, saying, hey, let's look at what the word says. This is how our family operates. Oh, okay, we see that. Well, how much more our heavenly Father comes and shows us how to do this life? You're not alone in this life. And then he gave you a church family to be part of because God knows that we need people. We need family. He takes the lonely and he places them in families. So again, if you're looking for a church family, if you're looking, man, I want to do this journey with people. There's a room full of people in here that would love to do this journey with you. Right? There's five of us that said, yeah, right. Anybody? Find those five and just be buddies with them. But I can tell you in my own testimony, the goodness of God and what he did. I grew up as a pastor's kid. So you're thinking, oh, he's just perfect. Wasn't that mom? You heard the testimony. I need two or three witnesses. Perfect-ish is probably a better. But what I honestly, so I meant growing up to church, but what it was, it was my parents' religion. It was my parents' thing. And so I had to come every time the church doors were open, even if I was at the bar the night before. You get your butt to church. So there I am sitting. But what's happening is the word of God is getting on the inside of me, getting on the inside of me. And my mama and my dad, I know that they just prayed and they just kept speaking the word over me until one day, I'll never forget this. It was November of 2006. No, November 2005. We call them Holy Spirit meetings, and it was wild. And at the end of it all, the lady that was running this thing, she said, I want the pastor's kid to come up here. So I'm like, which one? There's five of us, so please take, you know, 2, 3, 4, or 5. That'd be great. I want the oldest. Blast. So I reluctantly walked up the aisle of the church. We were at the old building at the time. I'm slowly walking up to the front. And she just, as soon as I got in front of her, she just started ministering to me. It was a word of correction, but what it did to me, it ministered such love and grace on the inside, knowing that God wanted me, not because I was a pastor's kid, not because one day I'd be doing all of this. He wanted me because me. That rocked my world. I've had those thoughts before, but I tell you, it went from here and it went to here. That Jesus wanted me. Oh, it hit me so hard. And at that moment, everything in my life changed. I said, I'm done. I'm done with that lifestyle. I'm done with that. Lord, here's my life. What do you want with my life? Take it all. I see what you did for me and you want me? All right, I'm yours. And it began the beginning phases and beginning steps of an intimate relationship with an almighty God who just wants to talk to you. So could I just put that invitation out? Whether you've been a Christian forever, maybe you've been stuck in religion. Religion blows. And I mean that as harshly as I can. Religion has kept more people away from the Lord than anything else. Got these stupid religious demons that like to just talk and they start bashing the church and you got to do this right. You got to, it is a bunch of bunk. Jesus came to bring relationship. And in that, now he's going to teach you how to live this life. Religion says you have to act a certain way. You got to behave a certain way. You got to think. You got to do. And if you do, maybe you can get in here. That's not the gospel. The gospel is come, all you that are weak, laden, heavy burden with all these weights, come and I'll give you this rest. Come, I'll give you what your soul is longing for. I'll give it to you. Jesus is the life. He's the bread of life. Everything that you could ever want, everything that you could ever imagine, it's all become secondary when coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All the money that you could acquire, all the high positions that you could want, all fall short into standing in the presence of an almighty God who says, I welcome you here and I want to have relationship with you. All that other stuff just seems to be, Paul says it, it's dung. Message Bible says it's just a butt manure. I wanted to be the highest Pharisee. I wanted to be the highest. And all of a sudden, Jesus found me on that road. So what is it now? All that stuff that I tried to attain to, it's all slave market manure. Now I get to know him and be known by him. So if that's you just saying, I don't know who this Jesus is. I don't really know if I want this Christian stuff. Listen, it's a crutch for life. No, it's not. You need Jesus for this life. You need Jesus to go to Walmart. Yes, eternity. Yes, heaven. Absolutely. But man, I'm not leaving this house without going to Walmart without them. Man, this world is nuts. People are crazy. I get in my car, say, Jesus, thank you for sitting right here with me. I need him. And then secondly, for those, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to dig into this resurrected life. Jesus paid too high of a price for you just to kind of be surface Christian. There is so much more in store for you. There's way too much that Jesus purchased at this cross just to kind of go, well, I'm a weekend warrior. Arr! There's so much more he wants to do for you on a Monday. He wants to reveal his secrets to you on a Tuesday. And I want to show you this last verse and then I'll be finished. But this is Jesus speaking in John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says this, it's urgent that you listen carefully to this. Anyone who believes what I am saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, that's what you're doing. Those that have never accepted Jesus and those that have accepted Jesus, is what we're doing is we're just aligning ourselves with the Father. That's what we're doing, okay? I got to read that sentence again because now it's weird. to this, you gotta listen to this carefully. Anyone here who believes what I am saying right now and aligns himself with the Father, who has in fact put me in charge, has at this very moment the real lasting life and is no longer condemned to be an outsider. This person has taken a giant step from the world of the dead to the world of the living. You and I are called to be in the world of the living. That's the assignment. That's the call. Well, how do I find out what's in that land of the living? You got to spend time in your Bible. There's no other option. There's no other place. The word shows you a brand new world. If anybody's seen Aladdin, a whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew. Jesus came to literally show you a whole new world. A whole new world that you belong to, that you are called to live in. So don't leave this place either without just saying, Jesus, I want more of this world. It's crucial. It's vital for you and I. So can we all stand up together? And I want to just give an opportunity here.